Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
In this month of February, Streaming Things is brought to you by Chester Copperpot, David Malfara, Rabid Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Thomas Alexander, Emmy, Valerie, Stanton Valentino, Crystal Trujillo, John Collins, Ghost, Andrew Gray, Jen Robinson, Kate, Chloe Richardson, Kalisha Reeves, Kiki Newton, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Casey McCain, and the one and only Enza.
My name is Chris.
I'm Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, continuing our coverage of Yellowjackets Season 1 in anticipation of Yellowjackets Season 2 that drops on March 24th.
It's coming up.
It's coming up very quickly.
Coming up fast, man.
We're going to have to double up some of these episodes for you Yellowjackets fans, so Absolutely. You can look forward to that. You get episodes maybe 4 and 5 in 1 week, then maybe 6 and 7. I don't know how numbers go, but I bet it'll continue that
Sometimes
way.
Sometimes 9 and 3.
What?
What?
No, we won't do that.
We could throw them off.
We could.
Just like Yellow Jackets. Ooh, to mimic oscillating between 2021 and 1996, we could just go to the finale and then back to 4.
Can we just keep smash cutting our review coverage just to really confuse the people?
I think that would be the best homage that we could do. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to put that much effort in. So the way this is going to go, if you're new here, we'll talk about our overall thoughts on episode 3, and then we'll do a scene by scene, play by play recap, and then we'll cap it all off with some fun little categories like Easter eggs, references to the 90s, things that we can pull out, whatever that may be. Sometimes they're quite a stretch. And then we'll do our favorite scenes, our top 3 favorite moments of the episode, and then our favorite performance. We'll give it to one of those magnificent actors. Each of us will pick a different person. Sometimes not. Sometimes we'll all pick Christina Ricci. Which is valid.
It does I think that's just from you. That time to time.
It's valid. I actually go back through and edit. So every time Madison's like, my favorite, and I go, Christina Ricci.
Madison's voice gets deep, really, like just for that one
really
line.
Really deep.
Ghost. Wow.
Nobody notices. It's never been caught as of yet. But yeah, let's dive right in. I guess you can email the show. Be aware of that. streamingthingspod@gmail.com. Also, please, if you can't support the show financially at patreon.com/streamingthings, I get it. Totally understandable. A box of Clif Bars is over $15. I don't know if you guys know this. So if you don't have any money left after that, a carton of eggs, Madison, $5.
Fucking dumb.
Unreasonable. I don't even think whole chickens don't cost that much. Last I checked. Mm-mm. And I checked the going rate of inflation on chickens a lot.
Not even the rotisserie style chickens.
No, I'm talking about
them shits are still $7.
Alive. Bok bok bagok. Running around. Basically a dinosaur, by the way. Kind of neat fact about chickens.
They're basically dinosaurs. But in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Those velociraptors be clucking around the kitchen.
You know? Clever girl. Annie Hoozle. I don't remember where I was going with that. Oh, you can rate and review the show for absolutely no monies whatsoever. And that helps us a great deal. As long as you do it in a positive way. I got to be clear about that. Wherever you're listening to this, Spotify, iTunes, Overcast, YouTube, even, does that just like it?
Yeah.
Drop that like
it.
Subscribe.
Subscribe. Bring that bell.
Yeah. F in the chat. Something like that. Anywho.
Bees in the chat for Yellow Jacket.
That's right. It's bees in the trap, my friend.
Bees in the trap.
Thank you, Madison.
You're welcome.
We can get the rights to that and drop that in, Steve. Can you edit that in?
Hold on.
Let me call Nikki real quick.
Okay.
We got it. We got it.
She's busy. She's not responding. Yellow Jackets, episode 3, The Dollhouse. Steve, what are your overall thoughts? What was your experience watching episode 3 for the very first time?
This episode was very interesting. It introduced the show, I think, an element of some supernatural stuff to the show that I wasn't expecting to be introduced at all. Like, I just thought this was going to be a pretty cut and dry, like, you know, girls survive a plane crash, some shit happens, now they're adults, now they're trying to figure out who's trying to rat on them. But there might be some supernatural stuff going on.
Are you getting, as a Lost fan, are you getting PTSD?
A little bit. The moment I saw that symbol from last episode, I was like, this is some Lost bullshit. But then in this one, there's like people in mirrors and there's smoke monsters. No, there wasn't that. But yeah, this is definitely giving me some Lost vibes, which only makes the show a little bit more intriguing to me, because I like that kind of stuff. I really enjoy sci-fi supernatural things.
Yeah. Big fan of, not big fan, we talked about this last time, but not a hater of the way that Lost ended up. But Madison and I were actually discussing this privately when you stepped out of the room, because Madison and I have both seen the show already. And she was kind of talking about, like, I wonder how Steve's going to take the whole possible supernatural bent.
Yeah. Oh, really? You didn't think I would like it?
We knew that it was coming up for this episode in particular. As far as overall thoughts, I think, Steve, you kind of encapsulated it. You're kind of transitioning into the supernatural element. But another example of how good the writing is for this show. So we dive into Thaisa's character a little bit, and I feel like it's so good at keeping the subplots of her character and also the other characters, and just, the writing is so good. And that's what I feel like it really shined in this episode in particular.
I agree. I was actually having... it's a busy day. Today's my wedding anniversary, so I was doing different things.
And Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
This will be a 6 days removed once you guys listen to it.
That's true. That's
like
true.
4 days.
We might not even be together anymore by then.
That's true.
By the time you hear this.
A lot can happen in 4 days.
Be real careful with your congrats. I might be sensitive. I was probably like 15 minutes in, and I was like, I think this is my least favorite episode so far, because, you know, busy day, a little distracted. Didn't feel that way at all. By the end, we got to dive into some really deep stuff. And like Madison was saying, the writing in particular really popped off on this episode, just from a standpoint of like trying to picture writing this script. And I was just struggling to think how I would even approach that at all. Like, it cuts very quickly. There's a fourth or fifth timeline added in this episode. And but it's not jarring at all, even though if you really sit in, like, as somebody who is taking notes on the show and I have to literally type 2021, 1996, young Thaisa, 1996, you realize how many cuts there are between these vast different timelines. And they pull it off in a way that's really not jarring for the viewer at all. And they have two complete different casts that are all stellar. Right. Like, I was kind of thinking earlier today as I was watching this, I was like, I wonder which I prefer, like, what timeline do I prefer watching more? Right. Like, in one way, it's like obviously the young timeline, because that's where like a lot of the action is and a lot of the mystery. But I can't say that confidently. And that's really impressive that they managed to cast two entirely different shows in a weird way. And they're both really well done. So huge fan of Yellow Jackets. And I loved episode 3.
You've got like a survival horror on one hand, and then you've got a mystery thriller on the other.
Yeah. Especially with Natalie. Character and stuff that we realize in this episode, it starts to be kind of like an HBO, like a Mayor of East Town kind of thing, you know, a little bit. So, The Outsider, if you will. You guys should watch that show, by the way. It's really good. Oh. Yeah.
Good to know.
Quick plug.
Good to know.
Shameless plug.
Crossing Streams.
It's still alive. Mendelsohn. That's the guy in that. I know you're a fan.
Ben Mendelsohn?
Yeah, Mr. Ben.
Mr. Ben.
Not the other Mendelsohn that you're thinking of. George. Little known George Mendelsohn. Diving right in, the episode opens in 1996 with the girls burying their dead. And I thought this was interesting because it laid to rest some of the questions that we had in previous episodes. Namely, Janet is the name of the flight attendant.
Flight attendant Janet.
Flight attendant Janet.
Quote exactly on the gravestone.
She had to be the one on fire. Poor Janet.
So. Yeah, poor Janet.
And then pilots Robert and Fred, as well as Coach Martinez, who is the father of Javi and Travis and Rachel, some JV recently promoted. I got that's the impaled through the throat lady.
Yes.
Young girl. So unfortunate for Rachel there. That's how she ended. And she should have stayed on JV.
But we also got, was this the first episode where we actually saw the introduction to the show? Like the opening, like music, animation.
So the opening that you're talking about where it was like kind of, it was 4x3 footage, 90s tape, but it showed past and present footage. I don't know if I think it's just for this episode or maybe I didn't go into the fourth episode to check.
I haven't either, but I honestly, I had the opposite thing where it was like, I felt like that was always there because we had watched the show before. So I didn't even think about it. So Steve, you would know best.
It was new to me. It was brand new to me. I hadn't
Isn't that song
before.
A banger?
It is a banger.
Yeah. It's a really good thing. It's so like, it's so cool. This is my music.
It's a good opener too.
Yeah. It's really good.
I can't remember if it's in everyone. I don't know.
It has to be, right? I mean, like.
Maybe. Okay.
Right?
We'll see next week.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
It was a fun surprise, though. I liked. It's interesting that they chose to have it come in the third episode, not the very first.
Extremely. Mm-hmm. Like, that's bizarre.
Right.
I feel like that happens a lot, that a lot of pilot episodes don't have the intro animation. Yes. But by number two is when they come in.
Like House of the Dragon did that.
Yeah.
The pilot didn't have that because they want you to get sucked right in. No clicking away.
Well, also, the animation is a spoiler for episode one of House of the Dragon.
And that.
Yeah.
But also, no clicking away.
No clicking away.
Yeah, and I love that it's in 4x3. Like, it's all 90s and shit. It's so cool. So cool. Congrats to you. I know a lot of Yellow Jackets producers listen to this. Good job.
We tip our hats to you.
Amazing job.
Yeah. So we cut from the grave site. And I think Thaisa kind of storms off in the middle of the funeral there.
Laura Lee was given the eulogies to everybody.
Rachel's very good at trigonometry.
Yeah, she never confused her secants and cosecants.
Because she's a smart lady. That's all we know about her.
I don't know if those were the real words.
And Van said, I think you did well.
She carried a flute case once.
I saw her carrying a flute once. There we go. And we cut to young Thaisa, and she's probably 8 years old or so, with her Nana, who's in like a home hospice situation. And her Nana's very nice. Hey, honey, dying's nothing to be afraid of. We have a short time here, and then God calls us back, or he calls us home. And she's like, who? She's like, him. God, we assume is how the rest of that convo went.
He rings that bell and he's like, I need you back home. We got work to do.
He subscribed to our, God subscribed to our YouTube.
We
cut back to 96. That's when Thaisa kind of storms out of the prayer circle, if you will. And then we cut to 2021 and it's an adult Thaisa. She receives an email with a link to a negative campaign ad. Her opponent, Phil Bathurst, is running some attack ads saying that Thaisa might, implying that she's a cannibal from her time in the forest there. And Simone talks her out of retaliation or tries to, hey, this is not the platform you run on. You're supposed to talk about the issues.
You're above that mudslinging.
Yeah. By the way, our son, I think, is extremely psychopathic, and we need to attend to this. He was sing-songing his own name earlier, and Thaisa was like, he does that.
Could be possessed, maybe. Yeah.
We're not sure. We know is something's weird's going on.
But in her defense, her opponent is a wannabe Mitch McConnell, and you don't want to fuck with people like that.
Mm-mm.
Mitch McConnell is an evil man.
The turtle people will not stop.
I just want to say I'm not really pro-cannibalism. I'm pretty against it.
Which, this made me think of this, but it's so interesting that, you know, Thaisa is obviously in the public eye, and the idea of her being a cannibal is so ingrained in her image, yet Jeff isn't thinking of Shauna in that way. You know, no one's thinking of Misty in that way. No one's thinking of Nat in that way. So it's just very interesting that she's the only one that's called out for the cannibalism. It's never really shined on anybody else. Have you guys noticed this as well?
Well, Jeff's so selfish. He's too busy chasing tail. He's probably like, eats people. She never eats me.
Well, that might be just because everyone else isn't in like the public eye per se. Mm-hmm. And just the smallest hint of any sort of, you know, bad press that you can get. And when you're in the public eye, especially in the political world like that, people are going to latch onto it and make it a.
Yeah, because opponents are actively inventing things and digging up things, and yeah, which is like, why Shauna chastises her for running for office.
Mm-hmm. We hear these like nebulous, like, oh, there's stories about you that have been flying around about everybody. But yes, she's the one where it's like, oh, she's a cannibal. She's going to cannibalize your tax dollars to pay for them social programs. How evil. maybe like almost as if that's the purpose of them. But it's like, I think we're hearing that mostly because she is the most publicly facing of all the characters. Everyone else is just kind of like, you know, stay at home mom or whatever Misty is.
Nurse.
Psychopath
nurse.
By the way, I'm glad you said that. We've gotten a lot of emails because a lot of our patrons and stuff are in the medical community or in the psychiatric community. And I think we had a pretty robust discussion in the Discord that I perused about because I called Misty a sociopath. And she would technically be, if anything, a psychopath, just to clarify that for any other listeners that were twitching at my misdiagnoses.
Well, I took the Witch Yellow Jackets character are you quiz, and I can unequivocally say that I am a total Misty.
You said you were before 100%. You took the quiz.
I did.
He got Misty on the BuzzFeed quiz.
I did. I'm caring and confident about That's those fact. I care about.
Fact. Mm-hmm.
I got Jackie, which might be Ooh. Worse.
Is it? I don't know Jackie well enough.
It was like charismatic and good leader, but not to be fucked with, gets real petty or something like that. Basically, to sum up.
I'm glad I didn't take the.
Who do you feel like you would get if you took the BuzzFeed quiz? Sammy?
Sammy? Madison.
I don't know. Probably. I mean, I associate myself mostly with Lottie. I guess her thinking. Maybe not so much in this episode, but in previous episodes. Okay.
You don't fuck with log cabins?
No, I don't, actually.
I get it. I lived in one for like 5 years, and never did I fuck with it. But yeah, then Sammy runs in the room while they're talking about this, and he wants to take Biscuit to the park. And so,
what a great name for a dog.
Yeah, old Biscuit. Give Biscuit a biscuit. Then you get to say cool sentences like that. Taissa acquiesces. We cut to Jeff making a protein shake, awful pleased with himself for getting laid the night before. Shauna's just kind of watching him, and she's testing him by asking him to pick her up at the mechanic shop at 4 o'clock because she knows that the mysterious Bianca had texted him about meeting up around that time. And he fails the test because he says he cannot go pick her up. He's got to stay at work.
He likes to lead from the front. You know that, babe.
I lead from the front. And by that, I mean with my dick.
I gotta say, Jeff is an idiot. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes.
To undermine your
Putting
wife.
Celery in a protein? Oh, okay.
Yeah, that part too. But just you're undermining your wife so much in terms of her ability to figure out what you're doing. You know, you've been staying late every Friday for inventory database. I don't know. To me, it's just so obvious what he's doing.
Sure.
You know, outside of being in the mindset of Shauna and, you know, her perspective of it and seeing the text, it just... How does he not pick up that he's doing that and making it super obvious?
Yeah, like the cheating's one thing, but also like it's insulting to her intelligence on a different level as well. You know,
yeah,
you're not even trying at this point. Mm-hmm. I agree with you, but we cut back to we don't cut yet because then we move over to Misty and Natalie in the car on the road to Travis's house. It's a long drive, and Misty's droning on about her dating life. I assume
hiking guy.
Yeah, and then ask Natalie about her dating life. Yeah, socks.
Have you ever dated someone where they were like, hey, can I have your socks?
No.
Me neither.
Yeah. I feel like that might be a red flag.
Well, not for Misty. That's the kind of person Misty is.
Oh, Misty's like, oh, they were sweaty, nasty socks.
And they were loving
them.
Me.
He never called her back, though. She was anticipating the call back.
All he wanted was her socks.
And we know at our age, guys, the only guys that are left are just crumbs at the bottom of a chip bag.
And then she gets like a dating app notification, and she's like, and Natalie's like, oh, whole chip? Because Misty kind of gets excited.
Yeah.
But then she pulls over and she wants Misty to go in and grab snacks. And Misty is really smart, and she already knows this is not a good sign. So she tries to wiggle out of it, but doesn't manage to. I don't even know what kind of chocolate you like. There's dark chocolate. Mm-hmm. Pretty weak defense. But she goes in, and then Natalie finds her battery cable in Misty's glove box. And she says, I fucking knew it.
It's been sabotaged. Could it be by Misty? What?
Well, I like that it confirms that she suspected all along, right? Because she's not stupid. But
yeah, she's like, I fucking knew it.
Yeah, but, you know, she's used to Misty's antics. Mm-hmm. But we cut back to 96, and all the girls are taking stock of their food. It's been 3 days now that they've been stuck there instead of getting rescued on the very second day. Travis grabs some of the food and rolls out, and everybody gets kind of annoyed at him. Lottie calls Travis Flex. And then he seems to get instantly offended, but Natalie defends him. Don't call him that. Really, like, a dangerous, threatening way. Don't call him that. Super defensive.
Don't do that. I think Lottie also calls him king of the snacks. Like, who died and made him king of the snacks?
Yeah. What a poor choice of words, even for Lottie.
I take that back. I don't want to be Lottie anymore.
I know she's getting low on her antipsychotics, but just to straight up say, who died and left you king of the snacks? His dad.
Oh, you're right. He was the king of the snacks. You see that guy?
Forgot he used to be king of the snacks before he was coach.
Speaking of snacks. Speaking of snacks, before we cut to the scene, did you see the giant ass Snickers bar Misty handed Nat?
Yeah, it's the standard
size.
You
could club someone to death of that thing. No, that thing was enormous.
I mean, that's the standard size I buy.
She came up with this thing. It was like a Billy Club's.
How big?
Keep going.
Oh, wow.
Oh my God. Oh my
Whoa.
God. It was like,
whoa.
Hungry?
You're not yourself when you're hungry.
Not.
So literally all of them.
I didn't want to roll past that because that Snickers bar took me aback.
It was a honker.
I was agape when I saw it. I was like, how long is this car trip?
It's a king size,
and
my
also
guy.
She's getting jerky, and Nat was like, that's going to stink up the whole car. Thanks for doing that.
Mm-hmm. But I'll eat my giant Snickers.
Do you think she ate it?
Yeah, for sure. It's a 3 hour car ride, and you can't just, once you take one bite, the phenomenon of craving takes over.
That's true. It is.
You can't
a Snickers
stop
bar.
Until it's gone.
The king of the snacks.
What if she Snickers was a different person? She was like young Natalie when they pulled up after the Snickers.
<You're> She's
Sophie Thatcher.
Yeah.
but it cuts to the whole group starts to doubt that help is coming after the whole Travis defense is over. And then it cuts to Travis. He's bringing the food to Javi. Javi's over there chewing the piece of gum that his dad gave him 3 days earlier. It's a desperate trauma response attempt to stay close to his dad.
Mm-hmm. His daddy gave him.
To stop the popping in your ears on the plane trick.
Are your ears still popping, Javi?
Mm, no.
Travis is so mean.
Poppin' Javi is his nickname when he gets older, by the way.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. He becomes a DJ.
Good for him.
On the ones and Poppin' Javi. On the ones and twos. Bubblegum, his hottest track. We cut to
Bubblegum, his hottest track, and it's just sounds of him crying out for his dad.
Mixed with like him chomping on the gum.
Yes. Layered under to the beat.
Dad.
Cut to Misty trying to feed Coach Scott. She's got like a granola bar or something that she smuggled him. He hasn't eaten in 2 days, and she's not going to give him any more pain pills until he.
Which were my dolls.
Yes, but still better than nothing.
Yeah.
When your leg's missing. And Lottie, I think, took her last antipsychotic. Is that what that was?
I believe so.
How is that possible? She had a whole fucking bottle that was supposed to last her.
There's only like four or five of them in there.
But I think it was twice a day is how many times she had to take it. Which if I was her, I'd be like, fuck it. I'm going to do it once a day so I can make these last. But
I guess. Yeah. I don't know how those work.
It depends on what effect it has on her.
Yeah. True that. Well, she's almost out and she looks a little concerned about it. And we see Thaisa, who had taken off while they were burying the bodies, returns, apparently went on a little hike, and she's super happy. She found a lake and there's more doubt about a rescue ever coming. Talked among the group. Jackie immediately vetoes the possibility of moving their camp over toward the lake. And
rescue team's going to come at any point, guys.
Yeah, we got to stay here.
We got to stay here.
What are they going to think?
Coming.
Thaisa says, let's do a vote.
I mean, who would have sabotaged the black box? That's crazy.
Nobody would have done that.
No one would have.
No one.
Which, right, by the Misty? Way, wouldn't they have like the last known signal of the box, even if Misty broke it?
I feel like yes.
I feel like, yeah.
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 Thought so too.
They said, fuck them.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep them out there.
You know, whoever's in charge of search and rescue was a real big fan of the opposing team at Nationals. It was like, oh no. Whoa,
I got a lot of money riding on this.
Someone got paid.
Delete that data. But they win the Thaisa wins the vote for everybody to go to the lake. And Shauna
voted against
votes
Jackie.
Against Jackie. That's a point of contention, folks. Mm-hmm. We cut to Van grabbing the compass out of the plane, and they leave a note on the plane with lipstick, I think. Mm-hmm. SOS. What shade do you think that was? Like a crimson?
Rosy.
Rosy.
This is before Kendall Jenner.
Crimson nightshade.
Oh, okay. There you go.
There you go.
SOS gone to lake. And
BRB. LOL. Hopefully that's like a waterproof lipstick, you know, just in case.
Or hopefully they don't fly over the other side of the plane. Just a plane. I don't turn around.
It's just a plane. Carry on through.
Yeah.
Thaisa tries to thank Shauna, but she won't have it. She's not having it.
It's like, we think we know what we're doing, but none of us have a clue.
Yeah. Yep. Don't thank me just because I voted against my best friend to go to the lake. I just want to see the lake. I'm a big lake fan.
You don't know half the things I do to my best friend.
Guess what my favorite team in the
or
NBA.
Or her boyfriend.
Or her boyfriend.
Yeah. I don't even
really like her.
I don't know what those moves are called yet. Back to 2021, Shauna is following her husband, Jeff, from work, and she's really bad at it. And I love this scene.
He's got a gift with him.
He does, but I just love the whole, like, she's tailing him, but she's not a pro. Like, she's too close. She's too far. Cars are cutting her off. And then she gets stuck right behind him at a red light. And she's just hiding by the dashboard.
As if he wouldn't recognize his wife's car.
Right. Exact color minivan got the dent in the same spot.
This is the scene. I know this show has like ghosts and symbols and Misty in it, but this scene, for whatever reason, was the one where I was like, this is so unbelievable.
How often do you look in your rear view?
When people are honking behind me at her, I will look and say, oh,
he had already taken off through the intersection.
I feel like I
look at, like, when I'm stopped at a stop sign, I look at the person behind me every time.
In my, like, you know, I have my friends that with their specific cars. If I see that type of car, I'm immediately like, oh, is that one of my friends? Mm-hmm.
So I haven't been in an accident in over a decade, maybe 15 years. I'm not sure. And a lot of that, I wasn't driving at all because of my addiction and then no license and all that stuff. But I haven't been in an accident.
On the wood. You haven't knocked on the wood yet. There you go. Thank you.
Since I was 18 years old. Okay. I say that to say this. I zone out completely.
Sure.
As soon as I get in my car, I just end up where I'm going most of the time. I'm here.
You just black out.
So I definitely, if like my wife was following me in a gray SUV, which is the other car that we own, I wouldn't, you know what I mean? There's so many gray SUVs. It's not, to me, impossible to think I wouldn't notice her. That's all I'm saying.
There hasn't been good evidence to show that Jeff is a very smart individual.
Zero.
So
celery?
Yeah. So I guess him catching Shauna, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he just wouldn't think of it, because maybe he thinks he's doing such a great job at hiding this affair.
I'm being so sneaky right now.
I'm just saying, like, I think I would have bought it if there weren't 15 cars honking at her over the course of this mile long stretch of straight road. And she's right behind him.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's never that far away from him. So, but if there's a lot of honking going on when you're driving, you're like, what the fuck is going on? What's everyone's problem?
So we now know.
Wait, that car looks familiar.
If we're going to tail Steve, we better bring our A game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always, I'm always on alert, right? Ain't nobody tailing this
you
ass.
Check your back seat before you.
We're going to be in our Misty wigs. You're not going to be able to recognize us at all.
Oh, that'll be terrifying. In the rearview mirror and just the two of you in one car with the wigs and the glasses, like.
You're such a Misty that it will subconsciously give you great comfort.
My people.
Should we go cater to someone's needs?
Let's go abuse the elderly.
But eventually she does get to where he's going, and he gets valet parking at a hotel.
Why do you get valet parking if you're cheating on your wife at a hotel? Isn't the hotel enough?
He's late for that ass appointment and he doesn't have time to park.
Something about the valet parking makes it like, that's another step, my guy.
Yeah. Well, it makes it worse because he's like wasting the extra $7.
Yeah. You were getting on Shauna's ass for having to repair the bumper.
Or the $60 Uber that, you know, she has to take to get back because he wouldn't pick her up.
Why are you going way out there? That's what he said.
I got the best deal.
Which is free plus some wiener. That's the deal I got. It's the best deal I could find.
Oh, man.
My favorite kind.
That's a good deal, honey. Never mind.
I'll take the free, hold the wiener.
No, really?
Actually, I'll hold the wiener.
Thank you for beating me to it. We cut back to 96. The girls are still hiking toward the lake. They walk by a savaged bear that's being eaten by vultures and other scavengers. It has become carrion. Not, which is a good luggage reference because this is about a plane crash.
I was going to make that joke if you didn't, so thank you.
I can always count on you, Steve. We're the pun twins. And twins, we cut back to 21. The fake reporter, we find out, is working for Thaisa. And she's been testing all of her survivor cohorts to see if they're going to break under pressure while she's running for political office. Mm-hmm. Steve, how'd that reveal hit you? Did you get chills?
I think when the moment happened, my first words were, "Oh my God, that's the reporter."
By yourself watching the show?
My girlfriend was with me, but yeah, I was like, her, remember? And,
remember?
But no, it makes sense. Like when that reveal happened, it was kind of like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. I'm glad this isn't like a, I kind of like that it wasn't a bigger hole. There's not like an even bigger nefarious, dun, dun, dun. Like I'm an even more politically connected person. Like right. I'm glad sure. It was just Thaisa looking for dirt on her opponent, who is the wannabe Mitch McConnell. And also she's trying to make sure that he can't find dirt on her through her friends. I think that's a smart play for a smart politician.
Yeah. She's a crafty, tough lady. What do you think she would have done? Like, say Shauna had said, I'll take the book deal. Seven figures. I believe it was. Heck yeah. With what you know about Thaisa, do you think she would like have her assassinated, or what's the course of action there?
Shauna would probably have just called her and chewed her out over the phone. You son of a bitch.
Oh, like Thaisa would have called Shauna.
Yeah. I thought we were in this together.
I feel like Thaisa would figure out some way to like hurt Shauna in some way. I'm sure.
She should be swimming with the fishes.
Something like
sleeping that. With the fishes.
Shauna would be
swimming with them. That sounds fun.
But I think Thaisa, you know, she kind of makes it very clear in this episode, you know, not to fuck with her. And mm-hmm.
She says that.
I think if one of the fellow survivors, you know, went back on their word and said something, I'm sure she would say something or do something sinister.
I do think Shauna's one person that it would be tough to hurt, though, because she's like, I don't even like my husband. Kill him. I don't care.
True.
My daughter. I don't like her either.
I remember so little about this season that I want to speculate on things that I might be supposed to know.
You subconsciously know.
But I don't want to say anything because it's like somebody will be like, you fucking know that, dude. You know, that's a spoiler. And I'm like, I honestly don't remember. But there is something I mean,
I feel like me and you are on the same level of like knowledge from when we watched it the first
time. I mean, all of this feels like the first time.
No, seriously. Like yeah. And so when I see something, I'm like, does that foreshadow something? Yeah. And then I'm like, wait, no, stop. I need to. Yeah.
Wait, no, stop.
No, stop, please.
But then the reporter suggests that she retaliate against Bathurst with info on his daughter, who's been to rehab twice before the age of 16. She's now 18. So they can make an ad outing her as an addict and embarrass Phil Bathurst. Thaisa thinks a lot about that.
I don't think that's a very good way to do politics. Personally, I'm Mitch, above mudslinging type behavior.
We need you to leave the show.
Well, this is Kentucky. I live here.
You're not welcome here.
Oh, Bernie's here.
I took the bus.
Oh shit.
3 hours just to tell you to fuck off.
I'll have my manservant drive me away.
It's ridiculous. 1% is.
I'm leaving.
You're not I'm so sad I don't things. Have a voice to contribute to this.
You got a Bill Clinton you could throw in or something?
No. Let me work on it. Maybe right. Next episode.
Practice
can
your
you,
Billy.
Can you do a Liz Warren?
No.
What about like a Kennedy?
Guys. I appreciate the confidence, but let me practice first.
Okay, all right. You still got to sing for us on this show.
Oh
remember?
My gosh!
And then behind her, Sammy's playing at the park, and he like elbows a kid off the top rope, WWE style, off the slide. What if he was just like slapping his elbow and was jumping down?
I want someone to take that shot, but insert Jim Ross commentary, like, "Parker, that boy had a family."
So she
don't do it, Sammy. Don't do it. Oh.
She hangs up on the phone and runs over there and like, Sammy, did you hit him? And he's like, I sure did.
You're goddamn right.
You're goddamn right. I did. I'm the world champ.
He called you a cannonball.
He did. He did. We cut back to 1996. The hike continues. I thought there was like a scene where Thaisa kind of gets a little creeped out by the forest. Maybe hears like little grumbly grumble noises.
Yeah, I think that whole sequence when they're hiking and it's kind of doing the up close on the foliage and stuff like that. I felt like there was there were like growling noises.
I thought so too.
Yeah. And so I think the moment where Thaisa kind of looks out is almost kind of this idea that, you know, the wolves are watching or somebody is watching.
Yeah. Cause the coach is the one that suggested that there are wolves out in the forest, and that is what could have taken down the bear. Yeah.
Yes. But also we intercut with young Thaisa. We kind of get this vibe that Thaisa can see things that she's trying to repress. And so she's overly adamant against supernatural explanations because she actually has experienced terrifying supernatural things.
But also we know that she has PTSD about wolves specifically from last episode, because she did that awesome wolf shadow puppet. And
the writing is so good. So now we're expecting wolfy action. Mm-hmm. Plus this, this episode repeatedly does like an old horror trope thing with camera work where it's like a POV shot of a lurker in the woods, you know, it does that kind of thing, like a Sam Raimi type thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so there's grumbly rumbles, and then back to 2021, Simone and Thaisa are talking about, you know, more campaign stuff, but then Simone gets upset. Like, Sammy punched a kid today and you're talking about strategy. But it turns out he had punched the kid because he was talking about his mother. The kid's parents had probably seen the campaign ad and were talking shit around their kid, and they're little sponges. You know how they are. But
she's going to cannibalize our tax dollars for social services.
She's going to cannonball our tax dollars.
Boy, go beat up her kid.
Yeah. And Sammy comes in talking cash shit. Really, really acerbic towards his mother. Be quiet. He didn't have a southern accent. But.
Major standoff between him and his mom.
Yeah, like, did you guys ever talk back to your mom like that?
No.
Not until I was a troubled teen.
But like a little boy not. Like Sammy's age?
Never. I was the sweetest little piece of pie.
But never did I say, be quiet, or, no. But
I was a little liar. Oh, pants on fire.
But I thought you were a sweet little pie boy.
Yeah, but a sweet liar. Oh. Like, I would never say, like, be quiet, mom. I would just say, mom, I'm sick. Can I stay home from school? Like, I was that all the time.
I got the black lung, mom.
But yeah, Sammy's clearly unwell, and you can tell that this doesn't happen often because Thaisa is shooketh, as they say. Mm-hmm. She takes Manny, his favorite doll, and says to go to your room. And he's like, give that back. You saw what I did to the other kid. You want that to be your face? People's elbow? Your nose? About to go on a date. He doesn't say all that. But
it's time for the most electrifying movie in sports entertainment. It's a Sammy elbow.
You just hear the bell. Ding, ding.
Mm-hmm. Now we're off.
Thaisa turns into a wolf.
Nice. So now it's Mortal Kombat.
Oh, my God. If Thaisa becomes an animorph throughout this whole thing, I'll be so happy.
She sends Sammy to his room, and it cuts back to 96. All the girls are tired and they're lost. They start to argue, and then they see the lake and they run toward it. Now,
happy day.
Picture yourself, right? This is your first bath in 3 days. You're going to be excited. And plus you're thirsty. Double whammy.
Yeah.
So they run. I love this scene. It's one of my favorites. But we get something from Mari, because like Mari and what's her name? Akilah? Are two characters I don't feel like are part of the main set of girls, but they're on this trip and they're survivors there. And we get,
There's a lot more girls on this trip than I realized this episode, like seeing them walking single file through the woods. I realized, oh shit, there's like a lot of people.
Probably 25 of them total, I think. Yeah.
Which is good. Cause that means there's a lot for killing later on.
A lot to eat.
Good.
Good thing we brought so many girls.
A lot of cannonballing.
Cannonballing is going to be wild. But Mari, they're all kind of watching Travis swim in the water. And Mari looks at Natalie and says, is Travis hot? And Jackie's like, it's been 3 days. Relax.
Can't be that desperate.
They're already getting pent up.
Well, Travis did like one of those little like, I'm going to splash you. I'm going to splash you.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
To Natalie.
And Nat's like, I'm going to splash you.
Which already adds to the whole adult Nat is looking for adult Travis. And so it's hinting that there's already been some history there between the two of them.
Yeah. The way that the cutting back and forth and giving you different snippets of information before and after the fact kind of works together to create, you know, expectation and tension is so fun and so incredible.
So good.
So we cut back to 2021 and it's Natalie and Misty show up at Travis's house. He doesn't answer. So Natalie immediately breaks in, smacks the front window, gives it the old Sammy elbow and gets in there. Travis isn't there. When they look around, she finds like an old shirt that she seems to recognize. I think she gives it a little sniff and a Polaroid of the two of them together.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice Misty is wearing Crocs in this scene?
No.
She's part of the Croc army.
You didn't notice Misty was wearing Crocs?
I've only owned Crocs.
Wow.
For a week or two or three.
I'm disappointed that you didn't notice.
I've worn them a lot since I got. They're super handy and comfortable.
They were in sports mode, by the way. Just thought I'd
know. As are mine, because you never know when you're going to have to get sporty.
How many modes are there?
Run from the police.
Two.
Oh, there's sports mode and?
Just chilling.
Croc mode?
Flipping.
Oh, okay. Flipping mode?
Flip flopping.
Slip in, slip out mode.
Yeah.
But I need to, that's my mode. And we get, I'm sorry. No, I was there. So does there's a lot.
She finds a photo of them together, right?
Yeah, the Polaroid. Yeah. But there's a lot with Misty I didn't talk about too, where Natalie just kind of gives her a job to do to get her out of her face because she won't shut up. And she tells the story about the Gribbled Ghoul or the Grabolo Ghoul?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And he collects teeth and she gets cut off by Natalie. Like, why don't you go check the trash outside?
Did you say something like the less a subject owns, the less guilty they are or something?
Or the more guilty they are.
The more guilty they are.
Yeah, because it's creepy. Mm-hmm. But it was funny because I was Googling like the what's it called? It's actually, I wrote it down because I thought it might be, the Gibbsboro Ghoul. I Googled the Gibbsboro Ghoul thinking it might be an Easter egg, like as a real person, because just how confident Misty sounded. And I got a Reddit post, which was like the most important unanswered question of all time. And it's a meme of her saying the teeth collect, like telling the story of the Gibbsboro Ghoul. And like, now we'll never know why, because she got interrupted, why the fuck that guy was collecting the teeth and what he was going to do. And I was like, thank you, Reddit, for coming through with what everybody expects you to be.
Reddit's always coming in hot.
Yeah.
I love when she tells Misty to go check out his trash.
Refuse.
And Misty's like, it's always a good idea to check out human refuse or personal refuse or something like that.
It's always a good indicator of things. She's done that many times.
Yeah. But I love the back and forth between the two because Natalie knows how Misty is, knows how to navigate her. And Misty also knows how to kind of navigate Nat. And I think, I just love their play with each other during this scene too.
Yeah, there's no love lost there, but at the same time, they're the perfect best of friends.
I think Natalie would argue that, but yeah.
She would. She wouldn't. She doesn't like to admit it, but that's her best friend. Let's just be real. She don't have too many of them.
About my best friend. She's a crazy ass bitch.
We cut back to 96 at the lake still. Coach Scott's just chilling on the beach. And then Misty goes over to him. Take your shirt off. Stumped. I'll squirt you.
Here, take your shirt off.
He looks dumped, he said. I'll squirt you.
That's dumb.
And then she pours water on his hair when he refuses to take his shirt off. And then we see Akilah, who's getting her hair done, I think, by Thaisa. Mm-hmm. And we cut a little bit to Shauna's there, too, like watching Jackie. Mm-hmm. Which kind of that scene, I thought of Steve. And we got a couple emails co-signing Steve. Of women that thought that there was some attraction between romantic attraction from on Shauna's part toward Jackie. Mm. Like, hey, Steve, I'm with you on that one. I've always thought that while watching the show. And I've never thought it ever until like thinking about Steve's POV watching this scene. Mm. Now, I think the first time around, I just took it like it's always her guilt. That's what those longing looks are about. It's like the guilt that's weighing on her. Mm-hmm. But just in the context of everybody being in their underwear, I guess it just felt like Shauna just being a little stary there.
Well, because they also make a point to show that Ty is making eyes at Van too.
Yeah. Exactly. And so like that juxtaposition, I was like, huh. So I don't know. Are you picking up vibes at all that like Steve's been picking up from day one about the.
Between Jackie and Shauna?
Yeah.
I didn't. And the first time it ever really was brought to my attention was when you brought it up, Steve.
It's
interesting to note that, you know, they're making this connection between Ty and Van because I didn't make that connection until later on in the series. But you see that she is married to a woman. Ty is married to a woman in the future. So you can only assume, you know, she's struggling. She's not out to her team now, but when is she going to be out to her team? And so, I don't know how I got in that train, but I never saw the Shauna and Jackie love interest trope.
It would add an interesting dynamic. Mm. What movie am I thinking of? Hold on. You might have to delete this because it's going to add nothing to the conversation. Or was it?
No.
It's House of the Dragon. And because a lot of the discussion around that came from, is there a sexual attraction between Alicent Hightower and Rhaenyra? The showrunners and most importantly, Millie Alcock and Emily Carey talked a lot about how there's definitely a sexual attraction between, and they even said, like, to some degree, all young female relationships have like an element of that. And I think that the show's being really honest and highlighting that, blah, 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 blah. And so from that perspective, obviously I have no idea what it's like to be a young female. But I can imagine, you know, that there is an element of that, if it's not going to be a huge plot point.
I think it's valid. I mean, validating that there is something there, I definitely can see where people would think that there is this sort of attraction, because you're right. I mean,
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I feel like as a young woman, I mean, I'm a bisexual woman, and I feel like when I was younger, not really having any thoughts of, you know, my sexuality, but I still was having these, I don't know. We don't have to go on like a long talk about my sexuality.
It's what we do. If you're comfortable. I mean, we're definitely not.
Steve chilling. I definitely see where you're coming from in terms of like that attraction, and especially the Rhaenyra and Alicent Hightower comparison. That is, to me, when I see that, I can see that reflection in the Shauna and Jackie relationship as well. But there's also this forefront of Shauna is sleeping with Jackie's boyfriend. And we knew that from the very beginning.
That,
so I think that's
makes
why,
the tea hotter.
Well, I think that's why I debunked that idea mm-hmm. of the two of them being together.
It does complicate it.
Yeah. And if I can say, like, ever since that first episode, I haven't really felt that thought as much that Shauna like feels that way towards Jackie.
Sure.
And I've been mm-hmm. leaning more towards the fact that it is guilt. Part of that is because they've sort of pulled back away from Jackie and Shauna a bit in the last two episodes.
Yes.
I don't think Jackie only had like one or two lines last episode, and it was all Van related. And then this episode is just a little bit more of them being separated, but it could still be it could go either way in my mind, but I think I've kind of leaned more on your guys' side. Maybe that's because you're like, oh no, they don't like each other.
But also too, fool. I think there is this element of love. Obviously they've been best friends with each other for a long time. So I think there's this teen angst there. You know, Jackie is upset at Shauna. And so I think there's a little bit of that. There's a little bit of, you know, this is my best friend, that guilt element. So yeah. I can see where some people would think otherwise.
Lots of subtext in this show.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I always feel like I'm at my best when I'm hanging out with my kids, when I'm being of service to other people, when I'm talking about TV and film. That makes me feel centered and effective, but that's not always possible because I have to be empowered, prepared to take on everything life throws at me, but I get all out of whack and I need help recentering. I do certain things, 12-step groups, group therapy that help me do that, but other people, normies I call them, they have to seek out other forms of help. I think it's important that everybody do that. And it can be kind of a struggle, like to find the time to find a therapist. How do you even go about doing that? You have to deal with insurances and all kinds of, you know, societal blocks to that. And it gives your little brain, my little brain, the excuse I need to not seek that help. And so BetterHelp makes it easier to navigate those blockades. Everything's online. You can just do all the research you want with clicks and screens. I don't have personal experience with BetterHelp, but Steve, you do.
I do. I have used BetterHelp for a couple months now, and it actually was a really, really great tool for me to utilize. I was struggling with codependency, and I didn't even know what codependency was until I started talking about it with my therapist. And through working with her, I was able to set up goals and achieve those goals with her guidance and help. And it was very, very beneficial to me. And I'm a much better off place than I was a couple months ago before I started using BetterHelp.
You are. And I can actually see the difference. And I'm glad that you're doing that. And if you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, it's flexible, affordable, and entirely online. You just fill out a brief questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch at any time. If you're feeling like things aren't working out or it could be better, you can just do that for no additional charge whatsoever. So if you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings. We cut back to 2021, and Misty finds a pay stub in the refuse, as she promised, for Willowbrook Ranch, which appears to be where Travis works. And then Natalie remarks, that's a $200 bottle of liquor. I don't know how he works there making that much money. And she's like, I don't know, it's a pay stub though. And then the cops bust in, find the ladies in Travis's house.
The cop busts.
Sure. You know, like, it's just like the force of the police is called the cops.
This cop.
Bad boys. What you want? What you want?
It's just Will Smith and Martin Lawrence walking in.
Oh, hell no. No, this cop was at an 11.
Well, you know,
there's, you need to be down a couple levels. Yeah.
Steve, there is broken window, A.
Oh.
White women, B. One's wearing Crocs. That's a scary situation. This,
one of them's
hands in the air.
I've heard of you, Misty.
On your knees.
What are you guys doing in here? Leaving bad reviews on Yelp?
Like, she's like, and to be fair, yeah. He's like, I saw that Billy Club you call a Snickers bar. To be fair, Nat could have been a little bit more like, hey, we're looking for our friend. We're worried about him. We broke in. We don't know where he's at. And she is being a little antagonist, but at one point the cop's like, I will fucking shoot you. Like, okay, dude, maybe not.
Well, that was just right. Accurate. That was just real world accurate.
That's true.
And I love, again, it's so hard for me not to gush over the character of Misty in general, but especially Christina Ricci, but just the way that she's so totally undisturbed by the.
Yeah, she was almost eager to she's follow smiling. The rules. She's like, hi. Yes.
Ooh,
knees on my knees, my favorite thing to do.
Ooh, shoot, Natalie. That'll be crazy. I'll get to suture the wound.
Look at me, officer. I'm good at following the rules.
But back in 1996, Shauna is. Wait, why'd I do that? I got the wrong date.
What? You're off the show.
That's not 1996. That's 2021, because Shauna's getting nothing from the front desk lady at the hotel.
That was funny.
Even when she pretends to be Homeland Security, briefly. Yeah. And then Adam, sneakiest body shop, horny guy, just happens to saunter up.
Happens to be at the same hotel as
Super
Shauna.
Weird. And even Shauna notices that later in their conversation, but he invites her for a classic martini. She abandons the front desk lady. But yeah, great scene. Melanie Lynskey firing on all cylinders. I thought this was super charming. She's worse at lying than she is tailing. So
she plays this role so well because that was so painfully awkward. I was getting secondhand embarrassment watching that from her. Like, oh, really? Well, I'm Homeland Security, so like we got our.
I didn't want to have to do this.
I didn't want to have to do this, but my badge is in my pocket.
I can't flash it.
Can't flash it because he has eyes everywhere.
Like, it's great. It's great. Have either of you ever seen the movie I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore? I Don't Feel at Home in This World. You definitely should. It's Melanie Lynskey. It co-stars Elijah Wood in one of my favorite roles of his ever. He has like this Padawan, like rat ponytail, tail. Rat tail thing, and he's super into nunchucks and heavy metal, but he's super nice guy. And the whole plot of that is a like suburban-esque homemaker type woman who just gets treated like shit by like grocery store clerks and restaurant people and like people cutting her off in traffic constantly. And somebody like steals her laptop from her house and she can't fucking take it anymore. The cops won't do anything. And she just, the plot is that she loses her mind and recruits her crazy neighbor to go track down the laptop and beat up everybody that's involved in this. It's kind of like a Falling Down or Nobody type movie. But anyway, it's her in this scene the entire time, just like out of her element, but trying really hard and super cute and fun. So big fan.
I kind of at first thought, so when Adam shows up and he's like, officer, whatever, like, and he's like playing along
Agent
with
Smith.
The, yeah. Agent Smith. Yeah. He's playing along with, I had thought that maybe she had called him and was like, yo, back me up on this. And he was just like, hell yeah, I'd do anything for you. I want to smash.
Yeah.
But like the fact that he was just there was like, sir, that's suspect.
Yeah.
Don't be suspicious. Sus. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
Don't be suspicious. But back in 1996, no, we're still not. Back in 2021, it cuts to Misty and Natalie in the slammer, and to the quote slammer. Misty. And then she saw all excitedly says, I bet he thinks we're hookers. she's having the time of her life. This is what I thought it would smell like. And that's when, Natalie confronts her about the battery. I found my cable. You're a fucking weirdo. And she's like, well, you wouldn't have taken me along if I didn't do that. Duh. And like, she says it so matter of factly, like,
yeah.
And even Natalie's like, that's true.
You're right.
It's like, why the facade is immediately gone. So I don't know why Misty didn't just be upfront from the get-go. And not have to pull the battery cable out, you know?
Well, I guess you don't want to make it awkward, you know, 3 hours deep into the ride. Well, in jail. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But so.
What does the slammer smell like?
Not good.
Not good?
Not good, Steve. Mm. You get these like bologna sandwiches, usually two bologna sandwiches, no mustard or mayo.
Gross.
But it's not even real bologna. It's like even if you even, so if you like bologna, you still wouldn't like whatever this meat is. Mm. It's like got like a green tinge to it. And then two like Kroger cookies, like the off-brand vanilla cookies. And you get those for your meal. And so you could be in the drunk tank for 36 hours. And so you get that three times, the two bologna sandwiches and the two cookies. And you have to.
Sounds delightful.
And then there's always some like drunk guy. I don't know what it's like in the ladies version, but that's probably the same. But there's one toilet in the corner that everybody can see attached to the wall. And the water fountain's on top of the toilet as part of the tank. And so if there's somebody like that's super wasted and has to shit, they just do it like 3 feet from you while you're laying on your shoe as a pillow and fun. But it smells great to answer your question. Oh. If you can imagine from all of that.
They should put a Glade plug in.
I hate those.
Light a candle or something.
Almost more.
I went to one of the best field trips I ever went on during high school was to a jail.
Nice.
Just for our forensics class. And we got to go to the jail and you got a whole tour and they're like, we're going to feed you prison food. And it was like, I was very disappointed that it was actually.
Is this like Scared Straight that you were accidentally on?
No, right. this was just like, hey, you guys go to the forensics. You're in the forensics class in high school. Let's just take you to jail.
Tomorrow we're going to a crime scene. Don't touch anything.
I almost saw a naked dude. It was great.
In the jail?
Yeah, there was a.
It took you into the pod? During shower time?
There was, is that what they call it? When it's like a U-shaped room and the shower is in the middle of the room and it's like a two-story room, but it was maximum security. So they only let one person out at one time.
Oh, really?
And we're in the control room so you can see, but they can't see you, I assume. And we're all just sitting there. The tour officer is like telling us what everything is. And the officer that's actually working it is kind of like looking at us. And behind him, we can see what's happening. This one inmate comes out of his room and he's just wearing a shower towel. And he's like, do. We're all watching this guy because we're like, oh, that guy's going to get naked. Because he goes, do. He like gets into the shower area.
Yeah!
He's getting his stuff ready. He's like turning the water on, but the water's not actually going on or something. And like we see him like fiddling with it. And then,
what a tease. He's working for you guys.
There's so much drama going on. And then finally the guy who's actually working the shift to supervise him turns and sees what's happening. He's like, oh, shit. He like gets on a little mic. He's like, hey, Bill, can you go back to your pod? And like the guys in the shower, you just hear him like throw his hands up in the air like, why? Like that. He's like, please just, I'll tell you later. Just go back and pump. And
super
he's like,
weird.
Ugh, and he like,
you just
mad.
Hear all of the, darn it. Like all the kids in the control room.
Yeah. We were all like so glued into that.
Field trip sucks.
It was a great field trip.
So the pod that I was in for the most amount of time, the shower was completely open. There was like 20 nozzles and like five of them on each like pillar. So you but it was really bad form to go in there when it was packed. You know what I mean? Like that, like that's like, ah,
that's a faux pas.
Just wait till I'm done. Yeah. Yeah. And so like 2 to 3 in there at the same time, max.
It was very gauche to do that.
But then the bathroom was also a long alcove that could be seen by the entire gymnasium sized room. And it was like 10 toilets with no stalls or walls in a row. So, I mean, you got overly comfortable, unfortunately, anyway. But the reason I brought this up is it's really funny. Memory time. But there are like 8 or 10 of the cots, but they call them racks in there, were like looking directly into the shower room. And they called that area Peter Beach.
Peter Beach.
Because you could just sit there and watch Peters all day if you so desire.
If you so desire.
Mm-hmm. So I called dibs as soon as I got there.
I thought this was supposed to be a punishment.
Anywho, so Misty and Natalie are having a great time in there. We find out Natalie's last name is Scaturcio, or at least I did. I didn't know that. She's apparently Italian.
Italian.
It's a good name.
And she gets her phone call first. She calls Thaisa, but I like how they did this. It cut to Thaisa, who's looking at Bathurst's daughter's Facebook or something is what it looked like to me. And then she receives the call from Natalie. And she is pissed that she's looking for Travis. He doesn't want to be found. We find out through their dialogue that Travis and Natalie have a storied in history of toxic relationships. Yep. And that's why she keeps going to rehab. It's probably getting high with Travis and stuff. You two are the worst for each other. And Thaisa refuses to pull strings to get her out of jail and hangs up on her.
What's the point of having all those connections?
It also shows that Thaisa has been paying for her rehab.
I wasn't sure if we knew that from the conversation between her and Shauna in the diner, though. Because I thought maybe she said something like, I put her in rehab again. And Shauna was like, you got to stop doing that. Let her go.
I don't know if that conversation was had.
If that conversation was had, I didn't connect that dots. Because this was the one that made it clear, like, oh, she's been paying.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
I'm sure that happened, but I probably just wasn't keyed into what she was talking about.
I think I knew this from the first time I watched and then just noticed it blatantly that, you know, they brought it to that attention. Yeah.
So then it cuts back to 1996, more at the lake. And this is where we get Thaisa staring at Van. And then Lottie sees a light in the woods, like a flare, like not a flare, but what's that word? A shimmer.
Reflection.
A reflection. Thank you. But I like shimmer too. It's Shimmer's a beautiful good, word.
Yeah. A shimmer reflection.
And that's when we get the another shimmer. Like POV from the forest shot, like something's watching them. Then they run up, they find the cabin, and none of them have seen Evil Dead. So they're all happy to have seen it.
Lottie saw it. That's why she was like,
Lottie's like, she's watching all the tree branches, like, no fucking way. nobody's been in the cabin in years. There's even like some food that was prepared that looks like it hasn't been touched in a decade. And like a pirate knife, like fucking One-Eyed Willie has been there or something. Mm-hmm. That's a Goonies reference. Jackie grabs some rotten food out of the pantry and gets all excited and selfish and then freaks out and drops it. It's like green and mushy. And she runs outside all pissed on the porch. And she's got
that food shouldn't do that. Just throwing that out there.
No, it's definitely botulism.
Yeah.
And she's got like some really severe fucked up poison ivy, which we didn't mention, but that was addressed earlier in the episode that Misty had advised her not to scratch her poison ivy.
Yeah.
And then Shauna's like watching her cry through the window.
I think for me, I interpreted that she's now, I feel like everyone else at this point is taking it, you know, the reality of the situation is nobody's coming. And I feel like this scene with Jackie, I think is her realization, like nobody is coming. Cause I think Shauna looking out is like, oh, Jackie's having a mental breakdown. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's not the leader. Like nobody's listening to her.
Yeah.
It's a terrible spot for her to be in emotionally. And like, as soon as they landed, she deeply emotionally hurt Van and has really never recovered from, you know, being put out of her element there. Yeah. But yeah, that's an awesome, awesome, context clue. Van finds some porn. Hell yeah.
Love it.
Travis immediately snags one.
Yeah.
And I love that he's so sad. Like, my dad's dead. I'm going to need these to jerk off later. his priorities are straight. And they have some fun interplay. Like, I think it's Van that says, do you guys actually jerk off to this shit? And he's like, no, we try, but we can't because we can't tell what their favorite book is. And I like that back and forth.
Yeah.
And then he runs out and finds Javi. He runs out to be alone with his porn, but then Javi runs up like, let me see it. And
I want to see the porn.
Yeah. You got porn? But, and this is before, by the way, this is before the internet. Right? So this could be the first breastises.
The only way to find porn before the internet was to go into the woods, and that's where you found it. Someone, it was passed down generation to generation. Someone would go out to the hole, the digging hole, and they would put the porn in the woods, and young men everywhere, young people everywhere would go out into the woods and venture there. And
like Bronco Henry?
Sure.
You didn't see Power of the Dog?
No.
It was like a, have you seen Power of the Dog?
I have not.
It was like a gay porn stash, and Benedict Cumberbatch's character stumbles upon it. And left him the porn.
It's the forest porn stash. Everyone knows.
If you say you don't have one, you're lying.
Yeah, you're lying. It's like a treasure map.
There's two types of people in the world, Chris.
That's what the Goonies was really about. They were looking for the porn stash.
Looking for the one-eyed Willie.
There are two types of people in this world, Chris. There are people who have the porn stash in the woods and fucking liars. All right?
That's true.
Period. Put that on a t-shirt.
That's a real dichotomy. But then he yells at Javi to spit his gum out. Dad's fucking dead, throws the gum in the forest, and doesn't let him see the porn.
That was so double sad. Whammy mean. I know. Being so mean to Javi?
Yeah, I just want to see the porn, chew my gum.
You're supposed to chew on some nasty-ass gum? That's his prerogative.
I only got two things to do. Look at porn and chew gum, and I'm all out of gum.
Well, now he is.
Sorry.
Before it was, I got two things to do. Love my dad and chew this gum. And I'm all out of dad.
Yeah. It's interesting to see, obviously, you know, they're brothers or siblings, and you're kind of getting two different sides of how they're taking their dad's death. You know, Travis is a little bit older, knows his dad's a dick, probably is a little bit more adult about, you know, his dad's, I don't know, whatever he's done to
be a
dick.
What did his dad do?
We don't know yet. We just get the sense of a lot of resentment. And that's what he says in this scene, too. Dad was an asshole. Mm-hmm. You know, he took us on this trip, which is another asshole thing to do.
Stuck in hell because of him.
Yeah. So, the different processes of grief, but also the age difference there, like you mm-hmm. were saying. And it's unfortunate to watch Travis not realize that his brother needs him. You know, we haven't heard anything about adult Javi in the other timeline, but not we can yet. Just assume, hey, you probably should have been taking care of your brother.
Mm-hmm. But Nat oversees this interaction, Travis.
Yeah, she's like looking on. She didn't say anything, does she?
I don't think so. There's just a moment where Travis and Nat look at each other, but I need to bring this up. I don't know if you guys would have noticed this, but young Natalie wears a lot of eye makeup. Yeah, Steve. So she did not have eye makeup on when she was in the lake, but she did have eye makeup on when they were at the cabin. And I don't know if that was on purpose or if that was a makeup mishap, but.
Oh, like she stopped to apply more makeup.
Yeah. Or they just, I don't know. I'm like, why are you applying makeup in the forest after the lake?
For Travis.
Maybe.
I think that is a good note. Like
it's also streaky though.
But she didn't have any on.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
oh, and had been crying?
She had been crying at some point, maybe.
Maybe.
In between lake.
Or was it the lake water?
She would have had to have reapplied the eyeliner mm-hmm. yeah. on the way to the cabin.
They might have.
Maybe. I don't know.
Actually, she's not going to be around Travis without eyeliner.
It was just interesting.
I think you're right, though. It's probably more of a overlooking thing.
Yeah. No, faith in the show.
Okay, sorry.
Minute details.
Faith in the show.
Very excellent. I mean, in a show famously lauded for its foreshadowing costume choices, I think we can give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt that was intentional. That's all I'm saying.
Well, there was like a deleted scene.
Yeah, could be her.
But they're all doing makeup before they go into the camera. They're like, maybe someone's there.
Coach Scott, stop. I don't need any guy liner. Back to 2021. It's Misty's turn to have a phone call. And I never know how to take her, but Natalie says, well, who are you going to call? Caligula? And she's like, Caligula doesn't know how to use a phone yet. Silly. I can't tell if she's being serious.
I think she's being facetious because the way her tone is like, oh, sorry, he can't learn. He doesn't know how to use the phone yet. Mm. Like she knows that she's being a bitch.
She's on her itinerary to teach Caligula how to use the phone, and it hasn't happened
There's
yet.
There's no doubt in my mind she fucking could.
She definitely could.
He's not there yet.
I'm not putting it past her.
He would have a razor.
but she's kind of miffed it at Nat because Nat's being a little mean to her.
Yeah, doubting her, mm-hmm. her prowess. But
all I did was ruin your car.
That's it. Literally nothing else. We got to drive in my sweet ride the whole time. We got to share snacks. I got you the biggest Snickers bar I could find.
I made it smell like jerky in there. You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. Delicious mingy jerky. We cut to Adam telling the story of his life. I didn't catch a lot of it.
I interpret it as he's a free guy.
He is a free guy. He's definitely not wearing underwear.
Yeah.
That's just the type of person that he is. And he says, we are who we pretend to be. So mm-hmm. we must be careful who we pretend to be, which I think is a very important line for the mm-hmm. context of this story.
Kurt Vonnegut.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And they have like a little book club joke there. And during this scene of which is a great interaction between Adam and Shauna, I think the dialogue borders on corny at times from Adam's work there. But then we see Jeff leaving with a blonde woman. She confirms her worst fear and suspicion and then looks at Adam and says, why are you here, Adam? And he's like, oh, I just fucking go where the wind takes me. You ever see Forrest Gump? Remember that feather at the beginning? So I don't like
ask,
she's.
I don't ask where or why. Yeah. I just go.
If somebody hits me with the car, I try to fuck them. Oh, thanks, God.
But if I get in a car accident, that's just an invitation.
There mm-hmm. is a moment where I feel like both of them are acknowledging, you know, they're about to partake in this petty revenge idea that, you know.
You rear-ended me. It's time for me to rear-end you.
Exactly.
Anal, Steve. yeah, I just like that because I would have found it very frustrating if we glossed over, like, the fact that he just showed up at this hotel she happens to be at. But Shauna at least kind of acknowledges it. It gives me enough of a crumb. You know, why are you here? You know, he's like, I just like to drink here. And she's angry enough and distracted enough at Jeff, I think, to just take that, not at face value, but to file it away for later, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to put a pin in that.
Yeah, let's put a pin in that and go do the horizontal hump. Hit it again, Steve. What euphemism could I have used?
I don't know.
Anything else?
The hotel hustle.
Okay. I couldn't think of any. I was like, fuck. Sex. Coitus.
This. Mm-hmm. The old finger in the hole.
Yeah.
Motion.
The okay and the pointer finger.
The okay kids.
But then Misty's call worked and they get bailed out. She called Kevin Tan, the detective from episode 2. And pretended she was Natalie, which did you get the impression she had done that multiple times or just on the phone call?
The texting she was pretending.
Yeah, she's been talking to him, right? Yeah, okay. She's like, yeah, it's easy. I'm all dark and deadpan.
And that is like, do you know how weird you are?
Yeah, just like that. Yeah. Dark and deadpan. And then back in 1996, the coach is sitting. He's got flies all over him. We see Shauna bring Jackie some blankets, and she apologizes for voting against her, which is like very Survivor-esque. And then she's like, I just need my best friend right now. And they cuddle, and then it cuts back to all the flies all over Coach Scott, and it's all over his stump and shit. It's really uncomfortable. He falls off the porch and screams, and then he starts cussing the amputated leg. Fuck you! Stump! Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And he hits Misty when she tries to comfort him. And then there's this really interesting character moment where she's like enraged momentarily, like she could slit his fucking throat. Mm-hmm. But then unperturbed, she proceeds to comfort him again. And I think that couple of seconds tells you so much about who Misty is as a person. I thought that was really cool.
This was a very like, I don't know. It was an uncomfortable scene to watch.
Yeah. And you can imagine where, you know, Coach, not everybody else is already dealing with maybe we're going to die here, but he's also dealing with, you know, extreme pain and, you know, missing limb.
And I'm sure too, he's been a reserved person because he's clearly the adult on this women's soccer team. You know, I'm sure a lot of these women don't know a whole bunch about him. And so like, I'm sure he's just at the point where we're potentially going to die. I'm not going to hold back this facade anymore. And maybe, you know, Misty helping him and annoying him was the last straw. And he just had to smack her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Had to.
Well, he's in a lot of pain. Yeah. Cause I feel that the flies are like biting him cause they're biting his stump and he can't do anything about it. And he's stuck there. And
it's gotta be miserable.
Overbearing creepy girl is like just pouring water on him when he doesn't want water to be poured on.
Wants him to take his shirt off so she can squirt on him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Average stuff.
She's force feeding Midol down his throat.
Seems like it needs some more.
Yeah, when he hit her, it was like, oh, dude, don't. But also it's like, oh, man.
Can't believe it took so long.
Right.
Jesus.
Don't hit the button. And then we cut to young Thaisa again. She's with her Nana. And then Nana sees something scary. And, you know, she had alluded to, hey, I'm going to see an angel coming to take me back home. And she sees something. And young Thaisa is like, is that the angel? And she's like, oh, get away from me.
Who are you? I don't know you. Get out of here.
It's the man with no eyes. And then Thaisa actually sees him. And they both scream. Mm-hmm. And the scene cuts back to 2021 with Thaisa again visiting Sammy in his room. And she's talking about, hey, when people do bad things, they should be punished, don't you think? Which, again, another very important line. And Sammy's like, absolutely, I agree. Foreshadowing.
Just like you.
Yeah.
You took Manny.
And she's like, you can have Manny back in the morning. And then Sammy asks, why don't people like you? And she says, people don't get what they expect from me, then they don't like it. And she says, and then Sammy says, you're not the bad one, implying he knows who is the bad one. And that freaks Thaisa out. But she leaves and she starts pondering. And then she calls Phil Bathurst and threatens him with his daughter's reputation and his whole family's situation and says, don't fuck with me, and hangs up. And then back on 1996, it's Thaisa visiting.
I don't really appreciate all that harsh language you're using.
Mitch, I can't tell you enough. You're not welcome here.
I came back just because why can't we just have civility?
God damn it.
Oh, Bernie's back. I'm
I told you. And then back in 96, Thaisa visits Lottie on the porch and Lottie refuses to go in the cabin. She's got a bad feeling about this. I got a bad feeling. And
somewhere in George Lucas's script writing typewriter just shook.
Yeah.
She's scared of the cabin and Thaisa gets angry because she's had some experience with the supernatural and she uses her logic and anger to overcompensate and says, I don't believe in that fucking shit. You don't either. Get your ass in the house. And Lottie's like, okay. And cuts back to 2021, Shauna and Adam going into a hotel room, room 2106,
Is that an important number?
I thought it might be. So I wrote it down. I don't think so. It's not like the hotel. What is that? The room in The Shining. Mm-hmm. Shit. Words. we assume they have sex. I'm not going to use any fun puns or idioms because I get the womp, womp, womp button.
Oh, you thought he looked hesitant?
Well, he did a thing where she goes into the room and as he's going into the room, he kind of stops and looks around. Like, I don't know if maybe he was hesitant, but definitely there's something fishy about him.
I think he's like, maybe I should have showered.
Maybe
I'm covered in grease.
Yeah,
from the body.
You think she's gonna want to do ball stuff?
Oh no!
Oh,
I never washed him.
Does anybody have any? that's going on in men's heads, right? Like, oh man,
just wash them in the sink. Isn't that what y'all do anyway?
Yes, we actually fill the sink and dip them. It's like a little ball jacuzzi. We take it to vacation.
I like the bubbles.
They clean so you don't have to. And then what are we doing here? I'm just got balls on my brain.
This is when it starts Ty waking up in all the timelines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So after the hotel room, we cut to Thaisa and it cuts through all three timelines. So she's sleeping fitfully with a half-eaten plate of cheese and crackers next to her head, I believe, which is a fire choice for a late-night snack. I totally concur.
Board.
Same. If by charcuterie you mean like saltines and sliced up cheese.
Hey, man, it counts.
And then it cuts back and forth with their first night in the cabin, Thaisa, and then young funeral Thaisa at her Nana's funeral. And I have the note, feet of all ages, which I hate. But you know what I mean? It's got that shot of the feet, and it's like older Thaisa's feet, teenage Thaisa's feet, and then
that's
young.
Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, 96 Thaisa finds the attic stairs in the cabin. Young Ty finds the coffin, and 2021 Ty finds a googly eye on the basement stairs. And I thought it was interesting. Oldest Thaisa is going downstairs. Middle Thaisa is going upstairs, and then young. I don't know if that has any kind of.
I think visually, yeah.
Visually it separates the three timelines.
Yeah. Well. And then, so the googly eye on the basement stairs is because Manny, the doll, is not where she put it on top of the shelf. It's broken into pieces in the basement floor. And that scares and shocks her. And then Lottie is up in the attic in the 96 timeline, like kind of rocking back and forth with her arms around her knees saying, I told you. And then it reveals a one-eyed Willie type skeleton over in like a rocking chair upstairs.
With a shotgun.
With a shotgun. And then also like
what was he protecting the attic from?
I think he was
hiding up there.
He was ending his life probably.
Oh.
But then also like in the youngest timeline, she's like playing with the dead body of her Nana. And I don't know if that's something not coroners, but what's it called? The people that dress the bodies for funeral homes.
Coroner?
Morticians.
Mortician, yeah.
Like, do morticians do something with the eyes or was that something supernatural?
Eyes are taken out, yeah.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
But were they taken out and filled? Was that like a marble or something that was
there? I thought it was a marble, yeah.
Okay. Are you serious? Do they really take the eyes out?
Yeah, that's too organic. It'll like decompose, I think.
Mm-hmm. I never knew that.
Actually, a lot of time they're donated. I know when my dad passed away, they called me like, can we have the eyes?
No
oh, by the way.
Way,
sorry. And I was like, I guess.
Oh, by the way.
Wow. Yeah. I did not know that.
Sometimes they'll do that like straight at like the morgue of the hospital. Cause my brother was a nurse at a hospital for a number of years and he had the job where he would cart the recently deceased to the corner in the basement of the hospital and he would watch them remove the eyes. And it was like, because he's weird. He was like, that's one of my favorite things to do at my job. It's so fascinating. I'm like, get away from me, creep.
All right, Misty.
Yeah. So I know very, yeah. I also like a lot to stories
watch
about
rats struggle in pools.
Unrelated.
So in that scene then, the one where it's very young Taisha, and she's like opening her grandmother's eyelid, that's legitimate. Like that's not something supernatural.
I guess that's what Steve's saying is, I guess it's like supposed to be like a marble or something.
I don't know if that's what people typically do. If they put marbles in there, I don't know if that's common practice. I assumed it was because I know eyes are removed often.
Yeah, you got to play marbles in the afterlife.
Yeah, right. You got to have those two. You pay Charon the two marbles on your way across the River Styx.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And then when after all that, we cut to Misty and Natalie. They show up to Travis's work, the Willowbrook Ranch, and Misty. They both find it, but Misty sees it first, the dangling body of a hanged Travis, who appears to have hanged himself. And Misty shows some sympathy, maybe even empathy. And I thought that was an interesting further delineating that she's, if anything, a psychopath, not a sociopath, because she seems to really care for Natalie. And I thought that was something really important to show because Misty's like, oh, Natalie, no. You know what I mean? She knows she's about to be very distraught. And she is. And then the cops show up. So Misty says, we have to go. And during the car ride, she's finally letting Misty drive because she's so distraught. Natalie says that Travis didn't kill himself. I know he didn't. And Misty reveals that she found a note, which I didn't get to read, something, I guess, that Natalie was right. I know it said she was right.
Tell Nat she was right.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And Misty had found that and says, what were you right about? And Natalie says, I don't know, but I know I'm right about this. He didn't commit suicide. He was murdered. Mm-hmm. The final shot of the episode is he's like dangling from a fucking crane. Like who would kill themselves like that way? Like that's
very showy. Mm-hmm.
And also wasn't the logo in that barn?
The symbol.
Yeah.
Oh, like the triangle stick man with the slash.
Yeah.
I didn't see it, but probably.
I think it was in one of the shots that you saw it there.
Calling guard.
I know it's in the cabin when, teenager Taisha.
Oh,
goes
maybe
out.
That's what I'm thinking of. I know it popped up.
Oh, where they find the body?
In the attic, yeah.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. Because I knew it popped up at some point.
It was up there. And that's the end of the episode. And we got about 10 minutes to get through our next categories here. The Easter eggs. What did you guys find?
Well, I'll just rattle off a bunch of the ones I found. So we get an Oasis mention. Rachel was a huge fan of Oasis. Mm-hmm. I guess she had tickets to go see it. She's never going to hear Wonderwall. So sad.
We've heard it millions of times.
Anyway, here's Wonderwall.
I don't hate it. Champagne Supernova, maybe?
Madison?
Nat is wearing a Pixie
shirt. Pixie shirt!
Yeah, she is. I love the Pixies. She's wearing a Death to Pixie shirt.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite bands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same.
We all fans?
Yeah.
I love Pixies.
I think they're coming here, actually.
They are.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah? Getting tickets?
I think so.
Heck yeah.
I got nothing.
You got nothing at all?
Well, I had the Pixie shirt and I had Tuesday morning ? Which is something that Misty said. I was trying to look up and I never did.
Oh, that's a store.
She also said very Unabomber-esque.
I have in the Unabomber, I have written down. And I was like, does that count? I'm writing it.
I think it counts.
That's
yeah.
So 90s, the Unabomber.
Yeah.
That's it.
I also have the, oh, go ahead, Steve.
Oh, you go for it.
Yeah, I was going to say the Playboy mags.
Classic. Classic.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
Classic Forrest.
Nobody porn. Jerks off that way anymore. Very, that's an Easter egg.
Mm-hmm. A relic, like so many young people these days are like, a magazine? What?
Well, I just feel like it's not very prominent now. I'm definitely in the night. I mean, I have some vintage Playboys in my like same. Magazine collection.
Right.
But I just, yeah, I figure why
but
not.
But nobody jerks off to them.
Unless your I name's mean, Bill.
I'm looking right at Steve. Steve's like, I hope they don't find my buried. Why you that's for the next generation.
Why are you looking at me? Just because I'm the man who is saying that everyone knows about the forest porn does not mean I'm jerking off in the forest, right?
That's why you go camping every other day.
You take it home with you, and then you donate it back when you're done with it.
It's true.
I also saw there's the magical Mr. Mistopheles from Cats is playing.
Oh,
at one point.
Oh, wow.
In the car.
Yeah. It's one of Misty's show tunes.
Is that a Misty
right?
song? Yeah.
Yeah, Cats the musical.
I don't, again, I don't hate that. Show tunes or podcasts. Sure. That's definitely my mm-hmm. road. I agree with that.
There's also Dreams by the Cranberries Hell during yeah. the lake scene. Thought it was very appropriate for that.
Love the Cranberries.
Love the Cranberries.
Cambodia by Cam Wilde is playing.
Mm-hmm. Vienna by Ultravox.
Absolutely.
That was at the end with poor Travis.
They show the Snackwell snacks, which reminded me of the Hostess, you know, cake snacks. I don't know if Snackwell is a real thing. That's not a brand I know, but like the little cakes that they were, where it was like, oh, I used to have those all the time. Those little chocolate.
Like Ding Dongs?
Where yeah. was this? When was this?
This was
Swiss
one of the,
cake rolls?
This was one of the rations they were collecting oh. in the plane.
Gotcha.
I assume it was on the snack cart.
It's like the Little Debbie of this world.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I don't know. Snackwells might be a real thing. It's just not a brand I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
Ty mentions the October surprise, which is a very common election thing. Mm. Like if there are two people running for office, there's usually what's called the October surprise because the election is always the first Tuesday of November. Mm. So usually there's like one last little bit of controversy you throw in October to try to swing things your way. So like Pussygate, the big... was that what it was called? Or what was the video gate? The like when oh it was.
Are you mixing your porn mags with? with politics? But no, like,
oh wait, that's my subscription.
Subscription Pussygate. But no, when Donald Trump was caught on tape talking about like grab her by the pussy, like that was an October surprise because that came out like 2 weeks before, and then the next week was another October surprise, which was the Hillary Clinton's emails thing.
Yeah.
That's what that is. And then the other thing, the last thing I had was the. I've got a bad feeling about this classic Star Wars line.
Mm-hmm. And then my last thing is the opening song is No Return by Craig Wedren. I don't know if we'll see next episode if that is the official opening of.
No return, no return, yep. No reason. Sorry. That brings us to our top three favorite scenes of the episode. Madison, why don't you start us off with your number three?
My number three was Shauna talking to the hotel receptionist, pretending to be Homeland Security to see if her husband was cheating on her.
She almost got away with it, too.
Mm-hmm. My thing is, why wasn't she just up front? I feel like, you know, woman to woman, to be like, listen, I think my husband's...
Girl.
I think my husband's doing the dirty.
I don't know if there's like a HIPAA with hotel clerks or, you know, because she took that real seriously.
Sure.
Which I understand safety is a concern. Anybody could just say they're your wife and then murder you in your hotel room.
It was
room.
Probably also a really nice hotel. I'm sure they were extra secure. But it
mum's
just,
the word for yes. our platinum members.
But I did enjoy that scene. I thought it was really funny.
It was a great scene. Steve, your number three.
My number three is Misty and Nat finding Travis. Really big emotional scene. Just adds a lot of intrigue. The fact that Nat doesn't believe that somebody actually murdered him only adds even more intrigue to it, especially now that there's supernatural shit going on in the show. What could this be? What is it? A ghost killing everybody and leaving the little calling card behind? What is? I'm super interested because before when they were going through his cabin, she saw him in the reflection of the mirror, mm-hmm. and you know Ty sees the man with no eyes in the reflection of the mirror with her Nana. So there's like this correlation of like now I don't trust mirrors in this world. If you appear in a mirror, are you dead? Are we all dead? I don't know. This
question
show,
mark.
I am flummoxed.
I don't know how I got these scars. I think the show is structured really well with like these you know, mysteries revealed at the end of each one that really make you want to go to the next episode, and but also not in an annoying way, in a fabricated way. Like, it's just really well done. But my number three moment is when Shauna was tailing Jeff poorly. I just thought, because we've seen her be like sneakily capable, like she's like a secret John Wick against rabbits and stuff. But now we got to see like this really charming, like, determination.
Somebody get this woman a shovel.
And so, you know, I thought, I loved that scene. It was making me chuckle and stuff. And, but also it was tense. Like, I was like, oh, fuck, fuck, you know, when he almost saw her. It's just really well directed. So I thought it was enjoyable. Madison, your number two.
My number two was young Misty's interaction with Coach Ben when she said, here, take your shirt off. I'll squirt you.
You love that.
It was just, it was equally innocent as it was super uncomfortable.
Sure.
And so I just, you know, playing into Misty's character, I thought it was pretty funny.
I love that pullback where you see the two other girls and she was like, if she got water in my hair, I'd kill her.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, there would be more than Coach Ben without a limb or something like that. Yeah.
Steve, you're number two.
My number two is just Misty and Nat in the slammer. Just like anytime they interact in the slammer was really, really funny. Just from Misty's like overexcitement, like, oh, it smells exactly how I ever thought.
I would love like a buddy cop movie. With just Misty and Nat.
Yeah, like all of Misty's like detective, like citizens detective network. Like if they became a team and just solved those cold cases, I'd watch that show in a heartbeat.
She's like a murderer Velma. Jinkies, I killed him.
Oh no.
My number two is the lake scene when they first finally see the lake. I just think it's a really... it's a cool moment because their innocence kind of comes back. Like they kind of forget that there's impending death and hunger. Like they're just, it's like a lake party. I remember when I was a teenager, we used to always go to this place we called the quarry and jump off cliffs and bounce around in this weird clay mud stuff and swim and just be free and fun.
Was it mud?
It wasn't. Like you're being facetious, a smart alecky, but it was not, it's clay. Cause like,
It's clay. Okay.
We would all get, but I don't know what it was. I'm not a fucking geologist.
The way you said mud stuff was like, okay, this is crisp. It was a squishy
ground material.
It was because we would all get in a circle. It was the thing you knew how to do if you went there before. You knew a lot about the area because it's like dry and cracked completely. But then my buddy was, cause he went there all the time. He was like, everybody jump. And we were like, what? So we all started jumping and eventually it became like this fucking soggy trampoline, but the entire ground. And it was weird. So I don't know. I guess it's clay. I have no idea.
That sounds supernatural to me.
It does.
And there was a weird triangle with like a circle and a line through it on there.
And you guys were sing songs, and, you know, holding each other's hands in a circle.
I think we just drank a bunch of cheap beer and jumped off the rocks, but
yeah.
Also supernatural stuff.
Fun.
One of us ate a guy.
You were cannonballing.
Yeah, we were cannonballing.
Off the cliff.
Hey, man, I don't need to know what you do on your weekends.
That's right. Madison, your favorite moment of episode three.
My favorite moment was Nat and Misty at the gas station, or just ultimately their whole journey of finding Travis. And it's Nat's clear annoyance with Misty, but also ability to read into her bullshit, same as Misty's ability to read into Nat's bullshit, and just kind of seeing them interact the whole shebang. That was my fave.
It was so much fun. Steve?
My favorite moment is the three-way time.
You paused.
Let me finish.
You're watching the wrong show.
Well, when I was looking up my forest porn, when Ty is in three separate timelines, having some reveal with the supernatural element, like the way they kind of cut between little girl Ty, teenager Ty, and adult Ty.
Feet of all ages.
Feet of all ages. That's what we're just going to call that scene. The feet of all ages scene. I thought the editing was really well. Chris, you kind of touched on it at the beginning of the episode, is there's a lot of timelines going on and they really traverse through the different timelines very, very well. That's one of the strengths of the show. And I think this scene in particular highlights the best that they've done it so far.
Yeah. I agree. That was also, I called it the triple tie sequence. Also my favorite part. As the first crossover we had out of all nine of the favorite moments. I thought that was neat. Mm. 'Cause that's how that speaks to how many good moments there were in this episode. But yeah, I really liked the technical aspects of that scene and how well they pulled off the editing specifically. But also like leading into the reveal of Travis's body, that was like a perfect like mood setter of, you know, discomfort and eeriness. It was like big reveal after big reveal, leading us into, and just me personally wanting to watch episode 4 so fucking bad, but I couldn't because we do this show. Mm-hmm. But that's our final segment coming up now. Our favorite performance of the episode. Steve, who did you choose?
My favorite performance was Juliette Lewis as adult Nat. I like the way her and Misty are such a great, you know, dynamic. And I love the way she kind of bounces off her. And she's just this surly, deadpan, always angry. But she's probably got a heart of gold under there, I'd assume. And being able to kind of, she's trying to find Travis. When she finally does, it's not a good thing. It's sad. And I just enjoy watching her.
Awesome. And Madison.
Mine was also Juliette Lewis for the exact same reasons. I loved her and Misty's witty / kind of bitchy comments towards each other. Just, I felt she really played that character well. So.
Excellent. I went with Melanie Lynskey again. I think I've chosen her before. I think a lot of like the comedic timing of this episode like rested on her shoulders. And I think we get to see a different side of adult Shauna, more vulnerable. Like when she sees like the whole scene with her talking with Adam, the dialogue was mostly great and her performance was stellar, but also like she keeps glancing over at every female that walks by in her peripheral waiting, you know, she's trying to focus on Adam a little bit and she's hearing what he's saying, but also like she remembers why she's here. And then finally it is her husband with a woman that she sees. And I love that there's no like crying or, you know, she just, cause she's been through way worse. Right. Like, and we don't even know the full extent of what she's been through yet, but there's just a lot there. I was really impressed. So I'm going to give it to Melanie Lynskey. Nice. Which brings us to the close of our coverage of episode 3 of Yellow Jackets. Thank you all for tuning in. Like I said, we've got 7 more episodes to go through in the next 6 weeks or so, 5 weeks or so leading up to season 2. And then all 3 of us will cover all of season 2 as well. So look forward to that. Thank you so much for listening. That's all the time we have for right now. My name is Chris.
My name is Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
It's the end of the episode in the month of February, the month of love. So it's time to show some love to our brand new patrons this month. In our Try Before You Deny section, we welcome David Malfara. The Marty B VIP producers, we welcome Tanmay Jane, Garrett Pratt, Michael Brook, Professor Beth RN, Veronica, Ode Bianchers, Ibsliz, Droog, Samuel T, Drew Watkins, Brett Logue, Joseph Bowen, Kaylee Sampson, Nick, and Stephanie Bennett. In the Chocolate Pudding Producers section, we welcome none other than Renzo20, Claudia Garver, Kristen Glenn, Amanda Brown, John Cavett, Bruce Cullum, Maria Rojas, Candace Hensley, Logan Loftus, Hannah W., Kenneth Singletary, Matthew Unden, Carol Ann Quinn, Dan Wells, Max Grabinski, Kelly Nealon, Hannah T.S., Aurelio Reyes, Valerie Frazier, and Andrew Edelman. And finally, in the Friends Don't Lie producers tier, we welcome Baby Bella Twinkie Butt of Spotty Bottom. Maybe the greatest patron name in the history of patron names. And that has been our brand new patrons that we want to show our love to. Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.